That was awesome, girls and boys, young men, back on the drums. I look back there, I was expecting to see Will, and I had a flashback of Tom Hanks in the movie Big. I was like, what just happened? For those over 50, you got that one. But you know, we've had a lot of sadness and sorrow and grief in our home, and coming to church and seeing the smiling faces and experiencing God's presence and seeing these girls up here singing, it just, there's so much joy in the house of God. Hey, David. There's so much joy in the house of God. When you slip out of church and you just end up living life outside of a spiritual community, and the unique presence that God reserves for his people gathering, you miss out on a big chunk of heaven on earth that you just ought not miss out on. And so it is such a joy to be here with you today. For those of you who don't know, my wife passed on March 10th after a decade battle of cancer. And so I've been thinking a lot more about heaven now than usual, for obvious reasons. And I want to talk to you about heaven today. My message today is thank God for heaven. Everybody say, thank God for heaven. Turn to your person next to you and say, thank God for heaven. I pulled up to church today and my son Josiah said, man, I just want to go to heaven. And he said, I'm not talking about like I'm going to do anything. I said, hey, I've been thinking the same thing, man. Let's just go. And then we read Philippians chapter 1 together where Paul's in prison trying to decide whether he wanted to stay or go. He said, man, it would be so much better to go and just be with Jesus. And he, as though he had a choice. That's an amazing little passage there that I don't quite understand, that Paul actually had a choice whether he allowed the allowed them to martyr him right then and there in prison, or if he gets to stay. And he made a choice. I'm going to stay because he said it's more beneficial for the church. And that's why I'm here today. I'm going to take a little break, but I wanted to be here with you today because I did not want to miss Resurrection Sunday with you all. This is the day of hope for the planet. And I need hope. I have hope. I had hope, I have hope, and I will see hope again. My wife's name was Hope, for those of you that don't know what just happened right there. God is waiting to come get his bride from the earth, and I'm waiting to go see my bride in heaven. And so I'm thinking about heaven a lot, so I'm going to talk to you about heaven today. Now, some would call that this escapism, or like one person said to me recently when I was talking about my faith, they said, that's just a cop-out. Or like Karl Marx said that religion is the opiate of the people or the drug of the masses. But there are people smarter than Karl Marx who actually believe that heaven is real, like Jesus Christ. Like, what if heaven is real? I believe heaven is real. I believe it's a real place. And Jesus' resurrection is what makes that place available to us. You see, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, even though heaven's a real place, nobody would get there. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And so his resurrection is the cornerstone of Christianity. If he did not rise from the dead, then we don't get a rise from the dead. And he said he was going to rise from the dead. So if he didn't, then we can't believe anything he said or any of the promises he made. But he did rise from the dead. And he did tell the truth. And he is coming back for his bride to take us home with him. And other Bible writers talk about this as well. When people, I want to say something to those of you, and welcome online community, I'm so glad you're with us today. I want to say something to those of you who don't yet believe in heaven and Jesus and the whole deal. There are really intelligent people who believe and believed and wrote the scriptures. Luke was a physician. Matthew was an accountant. Paul was one of the most intellectual people of his day. They say that he would have been in the league of Socrates and Aristotle and the rest of the other philosophers. He was at the upper echelon of society and power and wealth and authority and intelligence. And he tried to kill the church. He was on a rampage to wipe out what he thought was a new cult. And the resurrected Christ appeared to Paul, his name was Saul, and said, you have a choice. And that's when Saul realized that he had screwed up. And so the very person whose mission in life was to wipe out the Christian church became the greatest apostle of the Christian church. He had nothing to gain and everything to lose, and he eventually lost his life for it. Why would he do that? So when you investigate Christianity, you'll find it's not a blind faith. It is a logical faith based on hardcore evidence like the resurrection. It's a lot easier to prove that the resurrection is real than not. If you just go through the aspects of the resurrection, which we're not going to do today. But Paul, the one I just talked to you about, his name was Saul. Jesus changed his name to Saul, wrote this, Romans 1:1-4. From Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, God called me to be an apostle and chose me to tell, everybody say, the good news. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets, as it is written in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I just love the way that Paul is so clean and clear and bold and accurate about his testimony of Jesus Christ, the one he thought was an imposter, the church that he tried to destroy. And so when Paul talks about Jesus, it's not vague at all. I love his clarity. As a man, he was born from the family of David. But, everybody say, but. You know I love the big buts in the Bible. This is one of them. Everybody say, but. Through the Spirit of holiness, he was declared to be God's Son with great power by rising from the dead. And then Peter, this is what he says. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. Now, this last portion of the scripture, I want you to pay close attention because it's pretty powerful. And so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a while. Life is not a picnic. It is not a cakewalk. It is hard. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. Now, I want to say something. Just take that scripture off for a second. People have, and I don't want to make this about me, but I am going through a trial, and so I want to share with you what I'm doing in my trial as your fellow believer and your brother in Christ. People wonder about my faith now that my wife didn't get healed, and we see miracles, and people get healed, and she didn't. And so this is a real question mark. And you can listen to my sermon a couple weeks ago. I preached the Sunday after she died, and I covered all of that. But people are wondering about my relationship with God now, my relationship with Jesus. And what I want to say is my faith is being tested. My faith is being tested in my belief in the goodness of God. Yours is too, as you go through your trials, and will be in life. You will be tested. Is God truly good? How could that bad thing happen if God is good? And how are you relating to him now? And this is what I said to someone this week, and I mean it with all my heart. I said, look, I know you may be wondering about my relationship with Jesus now, but let me tell you, when I was 19 years old, Jesus drew me to himself, and we began a friendship in 1982. And that friendship is my point of reference from now until the day I see him face to face. Whatever happens in between that day I gave my life to Jesus and the day I see him face to face is irrelevant as it relates to my friendship with Jesus. I don't like it. I hate it. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I'm sad. I'm going to a grief support group. I have to process like any other human being. But you know what Paul says? For those who have fallen asleep, our loved ones, he didn't call it dying. He calls it falling asleep. For those of our loved ones who have fallen asleep, we don't grieve like those who have no hope. We grieve, and I am grieving, and my children are grieving, and many of you are grieving. But we don't grieve like those who don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To lose someone that you love and you don't know what happens after you die, I just want to say you don't have to live like that. What we're going to cover today will give you hope that is beyond any hope anybody or anything on this side of heaven can possibly give to you. And that's what we're going to look at today. But my friendship with Jesus is my friendship with Jesus. And from now until the day I see him. And so, let's go back to that scripture. So, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. If I cash Jesus in now, that means my faith wasn't genuine. It was just on, give me, my name is Jimmy. What have you done for me lately, God, right? Are we the loaves and fish crowd that only follow Jesus for answered prayer? Or do we follow Jesus because he is the Lord of glory? Because he is a savior of the world? Because he is the King of kings, the Lord of lords? Because he did what he did for us? I was reading John 14 last night, laying in bed, and Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. There are many mansions in my Father's kingdom in heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. And I got caught on that phrase. I go to prepare a place for you. I thought, what a friend. He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to go to heaven and prepare a place for John. What a kind thing for him to do. He's preparing a place for me, and I'm sure it's going to be right there with hope. What a friend. And I just meditated on what Jesus did for us and what he's doing for us right now. What a friend. It is being tested as fire. Your faith is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring... Okay, wait a minute. Back up. Just back up for a second. That last phrase, we're all expecting, when your faith remains strong through many trials... Don't move the screen yet, Chris. I expected it to say it will bring great glory to God, right? Are you ready? You're not ready for what this is about to say. When you go through trials on this side of heaven and you don't understand what's going on and you are confused and you're angry and you're frustrated and you're depressed and your faith in God is being tested, if your faith remains strong, are you ready for this? Watch this. I got to start with a sentence. Go back. It will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Wow. All of heaven, you come walking into heaven and heaven saw the trials you went through in the earth and the way you stayed fast with Jesus all the way through it. And your faith was tested. It was purified like gold. And you're still loving God. You're still worshiping Jesus. You're still praising him. You're still believing for other people to be saved and to be healed and have their prayers answered. And you march on. And you, boom, you break into heaven. And all of a sudden goes, woo, yeah. And you're going to receive much, you will receive much praise, glory, and honor in heaven. Wow. Or you can have the opposite. I don't know what that would look like, and I want nothing to do with it. Isn't that amazing? So, today, I want to share three things with you that believing in heaven and the resurrection will do for you, right? You guys ready? Three things. I just love that whole chunk that we just covered. Ah, so good. When you go through life, the struggle may be real, but when there's a reward at the end of the struggle, it's worth it, right? So like in sports, why in the world do you train so hard so you can win? In school, why do you study so long and hard so you can get a degree and hopefully a career, right? Or like when you're pregnant and you go through 9 months of pregnancy and then the birth, and Hope said, you know, I want to know what it's, you know, sex our child is. She said, no, I have to go through this. I need a surprise at the end. That's what she said, right? Like, dang it. The fourth one, Ava, I finally got to know the sex of the child before, because she got three, I at least get one. Or, you know, parenting, child rearing. You just hope to God, after all the suffering you go through as a parent, that they grow up to be, you know, a contributing citizen to society, right? I mean, you're just hoping they turn out all right. There's got to be a reward at the end of your investments. I mean, so when you struggle, there's got to be a reward. Here are three things that you get from believing in heaven and the resurrection. Number one, this is so awesome, removes the fear of death. I would like to choose how I die, but I'm not afraid to die. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. Death is reported as one of the greatest fears in the human race. The good news, according to a Time magazine report, is, quote, we get better at this age as we age. The fear of death gets better as you age, which is interesting. A 2000 meta-analysis found that fear of death grows in the first half of life. But by the time we hit, and I'm so excited about this statistic, because I just got under the wire. I'm 61. Here's the stat. But by the time we hit 61 to 87, that age group, it recedes to a stable, manageable level. I just got in, Phil. But actually, my fear of death completely disappeared when I was 19 years old and I gave my life to Jesus. No fear of death. Look at the book of Hebrews says about this. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had, past tense, loser, the power of death. He had the power of death, and he doesn't anymore. Jesus has it. Come on. You better get in Christ. You better get in the boat. Ooh. Get in him. Only in this way could he set free all who had lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Living without the fear of dying, what freedom, what a gift. Man, when you die as a believer, you don't have to pack a bag. You don't have to rent a U-Haul truck. It doesn't cost you any money. And it's a quick trip, man. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Christians have, not just like, oh, I hope so. We have, the word hope in the Bible means a strong expectation. I expect when I close my eyes, when I was with my wife and she breathed her last, I told her right before she went, I said, you tell Jesus I'm upset. And I meant that. I mean, you tell him that. I'm not happy about this. Because I knew she was going to be with him in a second. I've been receiving a number of books and articles lately about individuals who've gone to heaven and come back to report what they saw. One was an orthopedic surgeon, and she said this. She was in a kayaking accident. She went over a waterfall that she couldn't avoid, and she was underneath, stuck between some rocks in the bottom of the river, and her legs were broken, and she was bent over the boat, and she could see when she finally made it to shore, and they were trying to resuscitate her, and they could see their panic. But she watched the whole thing, and she said, I was in complete peace, and the angels had come, and we were watching it. And then I went down a corridor through the gates and into heaven, and she literally described what you can read in Revelation chapter 21, which we will in just a minute. And then she ended up coming back into her body. Now she travels the world and tells her story. And this is what she says. As a surgeon, I had been conditioned by many years of medical training to be skeptical of anything beyond the scientific realm. If it couldn't be measured, probed, x-rayed, or reproduced, then I couldn't rationally accept it. But then she had the near-death experience or an actual death experience, and it all changed for her. But many people don't have this fear removed because they don't believe in heaven and they aren't sure. And what I want to say to you is you can be sure today. When I was 19 and I was invited to church, I only went because the guy wouldn't stop inviting me and I wanted to get it over with. And so I went and I walked in and it was like this, and everybody was joyful and happy and nobody was stoned or drunk and I couldn't understand it. And so after three times, I went home and knelt down and said, Jesus, I don't know if you're real or not. I really don't. If you are, I'm inviting you into my life. And then through coincidences, about the next 3 to 6 months, I realized he's actually responding to me. And he proved himself to me. He'll do the same for you. The first thing, believing in Jesus' resurrection in heaven will do is it will remove the fear of death from your life. That would be enough. But here's the second thing. It literally defines your purpose in life. Jesus, the four questions that plague the human race: where did I come from? Why am I here? Who am I? And where am I going after I die? Jesus answers all of those. One, why are you here? Your purpose in life is defined. This is why, if I can say this without sounding too critical, American Christianity, a lot of times does not line up with the gospel. Like, you know, if you ever saw the movie Napoleon Dynamite, and Napoleon tells Pedro, just tell them all their wildest dreams will come true if you become the president of the school, right? We think that's what happens when you become a Christian, that God's just going to make all your wildest dreams come true. And that's just consumerism. That's why so many Christians fall away, because they get mad at God when he doesn't, a drive-through. I want this and I want that and I want it now. And God's like, I'm just not on your timeline. You're on mine. Or are you? And so Jesus said this in Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Once you make that paradigm shift, once you bow both knees to Jesus and say, everything I am is yours, I now live for you. I mean, Jesus, literally, his call is come and die. That's his call. Come and die to yourself and your life and live for me. That's the Christian salvation message. When you do that, you will have a peace nobody can give to you and you can't even explain. And then you will have purpose for the rest of your life. And that is to seek the kingdom of God. So what does that look like in practical terms? Here's three things it does for you. The first one, helps you know how to spend your money. You give to the church, you give to others. The Holy Spirit tells you how much, who, and when. You think of Zacchaeus, great example. So Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. He's wicked, he's evil, he robs people, he's powerful. The town was at his mercy. And yet, Jesus is walking down the street and sees him. And he says, hey, Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house and have lunch today. And everybody was angry. It's like, why would Jesus go have lunch with that guy? Because that guy needs Jesus more than everybody else. I tell my kids, I say, pick out the person that you're convinced would never come to Jesus. And let's start praying for him and see what happens. Nobody's too far from Jesus' reach. He goes and has one lunch with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus jumps up from the table and says, if I've stolen anything from anybody, I return fourfold, and I'm going to give half my wealth to the poor. And Jesus said, salvation has truly come to this house. You see, when you decide you're going to live for Christ, it changes how you spend your money. Jesus says this, don't store up treasures on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy. Thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there your desires of your heart will be also. Second time is how you spend your time. You end up praying, being in the Word, going to church, Service Proctor's missions, which I call a vacation with a purpose. When I got saved, you know, my friends would call me up, Ettore, let's go out and get drunk, man. Yeah. We used to just go out to bars and we would just get drunk and then we would pick fights to see how many bars we could get thrown out of in one night. That's literally what we did. And I get saved and I want to read the Bible. It's weird, man. I want to be in a Bible study. So, you know, my friends thought I was pulling a prank. And then my best friend came home from the Navy. He was on leave, and my friends told him, Ettore doesn't go out and party with us anymore, man. I was like, oh, dude, he's got you guys, man. This is the good ones. He calls me up. I'm in a Bible study, and the phone, somebody comes and says, hey, somebody's on the phone for you. I leave the Bible study. I get in the kitchen. I go, yeah, and he goes, Ettore! Randy, if you're watching, I'm talking about you. It's Padillo! Let's go! And I'm like, no, man, I'm in a Bible study. I'm like, no, really. I'm in a Bible study. Shut up, Ettore, let's go, man. I'm like, dude, I'm in a Bible study. Total silence on the phone. My friends were angry at me for like years. They felt I had abandoned them. But then he came to me 5 years later and he said, I need what you have. Yeah. Paul says this, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Another thing is how you spend your talents. Like, is your motivation in spending your talents just to get a promotion, make money, make a name for yourself, or is it make a name for God? This is what Peter says. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. So the first thing, believing in heaven and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is it removes the fear of death from your life. Thank God. Secondly, it defines your purpose in life. Every talent you have, every dollar you have, the time you have, you invest it in the kingdom of God. And guess what? You get rewards on the other side. For everything you do on this side of heaven that is invested in the kingdom of God, you get rewarded for it on the other side. You remember that scripture we read? There's going to be praise and glory and honor for you in heaven. Some say, well, I just want to get in. I'm like, not me, man. You're going to be sitting over there in the corner watching everybody else. Because, man, I can't wait for Jesus. I'm going to walk up to him. I want him to put that crown on my head Paul talks about. I want him to look at me and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what I'm living for on this side of heaven. What about you? What about you? What are you living for? And the last thing it does is it causes you to live for the future, not in the past. In fact, believing in the heaven and the resurrection of Christ pulls you forward. Like with my wife having gone on in the middle of the dream that we were building. I'm pulled toward her. I'm pulled forward. I'm grieving the loss. But I don't want to be insensitive. When I say I'm not living in the past, I'm not talking about I don't remember her. It's only been a few weeks. And then I won't remember her for the rest of my life. But I'm talking about all of our past, all of our remorses, all of our mistakes, all of our successes, all of that back there. When you believe in heaven and the resurrection of Christ and that you're walking with God, God is always in the present and the future. He's not back there. Heaven pulls us forward. Look what Paul says about this. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. That means his perfection. Philippians, you with me? But one thing I do. Everybody say one thing. Man, Paul learned this. He said, but one thing I do. Forgetting. Everybody say forgetting. Not like a lobotomy, but you're not, you know, neurosing on it. You're not nursing and rehearsing and cursing your mistakes or your past or your successes, like Uncle Rico, right? Oh, man, if he just put me in the fourth quarter, God, I could throw this football over that mountain, man. He was living in the past. For those of you who have not watched Napoleon Dynamite, you're missing all the best material from this sermon right now. Some of you are Uncle Rico. If Hope is watching this, she's like, yeah, Uncle Rico, because there are some sports failures I've had in the past that I can't not talk about. She's like, dear God, she might be glad she's in heaven so she doesn't have to hear me talk about. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature, I love what Paul says here. Paul says this is the way it is, and he says, all of us then who are mature should take this view of things. And if at some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. I just love that. Hebrews says this, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. I didn't receive the promise of hope's healing. But having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declared plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Don't return. Don't go backwards. If you're a Christian and you're backsliding, stop. Turn around. Don't go back there. There's nothing for you back there. There's nothing for you in the world. You might have some fun, but it's going to cost you, and it might cost you eternally. Don't go back there. Live heavenward. Lift your eyes. Look forward. Follow God. If they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And heaven's not going to be a boring place. I'm going to close with this, y'all. Heaven is not going to be a boring place. People think, oh my gosh, we're just going to get to heaven and do what? There's not going to be any Netflix or Prime or Hulu. What are we going to do? Dude, just read some of the accounts of people who have gone there and seen it and come back. They didn't want to come back. None of them wanted to come back. One guy was angry. His wife, he died, and his wife was begging Jesus to send him back, and he came back, and he said, why did you do that? Someone else posted on one of my Facebook posts that her husband, she did that. He came back, and she said, he's angry all the time. I couldn't believe she put it out there publicly. I was like, wow. He is so angry that I prayed him back onto the earth. She might be praying for him to go now. I don't know what she's doing. I don't know. But you're going to be laughing. You're going to be hanging out with your friends. There's going to be partying. You're going to worship. You're going to eat. You're going to use your talents as you reign with Christ. All your skill sets are going to be utilized. I don't know how, but it's all in the book of Revelation. But I'm going to close with this. Peter and Paul both say that when we die, we will see heaven. But do you know that John got to see it while he was alive? The book of Revelation. And thank God for us, Kenya, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, everybody's looking at you now, everybody online, all over the world. Don't pan the camera that way. She will kill me. All right. They couldn't kill John. They tried to boil him in oil, and he wouldn't boil. So what do you do with a guy like that? So they throw him out onto Patmos as a penal colony to die. And Jesus, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. In his trial, he's worshiping. And Jesus appears to him, the resurrected Jesus. And he said, I'm going to show you heaven. I'm going to show you the whole deal. I want you to write it all down. It's the book of Revelation. So we're going to close with taking a glimpse at heaven. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. Write down what you have seen, both the things that are now happening and the things that will happen. That was the first chapter of the book of Revelation. Here's the last chapter. John writes, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. By the way, heaven is not like nirvana. Everything you've heard about heaven is probably not accurate, right? It's not like a metaphor. It's not metaphorical. It's not like, you know, just it's not just like a consciousness. It's a physical place. And if you read this whole chapter, they literally, an angel measured out the entire city. Like an architect can literally tell you exactly how large the city of God is in heaven. John sees this city coming down. And he says, I heard a loud voice shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. Gosh, we're just here temporarily, y'all. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow, crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making all these things, everything new. You just sang that song. Look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. He also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. And all who are victorious will inherit all these blessings. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. He goes on to say, I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Its gates will never be closed at the end of day, because there is no night there. And all the nations, John saw all this, and all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry or dishonesty. So quit cheating on your taxes. But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That book I'm reading right now from the surgeon who died and came back, it's called The Seven Lessons from Heaven. She literally wrote everything I just read. She saw it all. It's real. And Jesus is the way there. Have you not yet given your life to Christ? Are you still wondering out there? Do you have a big question mark over your life about what life is all about, where you came from, who you are, why you're here, and where you're headed? Jesus answers all of those questions. You don't have to believe me today, but at least crack the door of your heart open a little bit. Pray the prayer I pray. Jesus, I don't know if you're real or not, but I'm interested. I want to know. He says that he will not turn away anyone who comes to him. He will reveal himself to you. But some of you may be ready to say yes to Jesus right now. He's been tugging on your heart through this whole message. He's drawing you. That's what that feeling is. He's saying, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. And if you'll say yes to him, he's going to forgive you of all your sins right now. I'm going to lead you into prayer. And if you pray this prayer with me, I promise you from the scriptures and from my own experience and millions and millions and millions of people who have said yes before you did, I promise you, you're going to feel this peace come inside of your soul that you've never known before. It's the peace that only Jesus can give you. But he won't force it on you. You have to invite him in. And then he will breathe his Holy Spirit into you, and you'll become a child of God right now. I'm going to pray that prayer with you right now. And for those of you who have given your life to Jesus in the past, but you have allowed yourself to stray away, and you feel far from God, Well, he's not far from you. Just turn around. He's right there. Renew your friendship with Jesus this morning. Come on, let's pray together. I want to lead you in this prayer. Let's just all pray this out loud together. And those who have never given your life to Jesus, I'm going to pray for you first and you repeat this prayer. We're going to pray for those who have drifted away from Christ and you're going to come home today. And those online, pray this with me. You know, before we do this, just keep your eyes closed and just get your heart settled in God right now. I want to ask, as everyone just has their eyes closed and you're connecting, you're locking in with Jesus right now, who in here this morning, this has been for you, and you are ready to give your life to Jesus or to come back to Jesus? Would you just raise your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise. I just want to see. I see your hand back here. Right back here to my left. Anybody else, raise your hand. I see your hand back there on the side. Anybody else, raise your hand this morning and say, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior, or I want to come back to him today. Just raise your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand back there on the back row, sir. Anybody else, raise your hand and say, I need to come back to Jesus or to Jesus. Live my life on purpose. I need to live God's life that he has planned for me. I need to know I'm going to heaven when I die. Anybody else, raise your hand and say, that's me. And online, if that's you, if you'll write it in the comments section. Okay, let's all pray this prayer aloud together. Say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I want to thank you that because of your great love for me, you came and died for my sins. You paid the price because you love me. And I thank you that you broke the power of death so I could be set free from the fear of death. I receive you now as my Savior. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's my Savior, and I belong to him now. Say this directly to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I commit myself to you. My whole soul, my entire life, and I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What happens now?
Why don't we worship, and then we'll invite the prayer teams down and pray for you if anyone has need.
And then what about the baptism?
We're going to jump right up there right after we pray. We can all head over upstairs. What you're going to want to do to get there, it's on the far end of the building, on the balcony on the east side. All the way down the hallway through those double doors, just follow the signage and the ushers will point you right to a staircase. If you absolutely need to, there's an elevator for you to use to go up to the third floor. As soon as you get off to the elevator on the third floor, take a left, and that'll bring you right outside to the balcony.
The reason it says if you need to, and you're welcome if you need to, because it goes through the restaurant, and they don't want the whole church going through the restaurant, right? So if you need the elevator, there's an elevator. Yeah. Otherwise, go on down there.
All the way to the end is a staircase.
And there have been times that when somebody gives their life to Christ, like last Easter, and you want to get water baptized right away. You don't want to wait. And they got baptized in their clothes. You can do that. Just a little bit of water. Never hurt anybody. But you'll follow Christ in his death and resurrection today. It'll be so awesome. Let's all stand and worship. Come on.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. Moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God all my life. All my life you have been faithful. goodness of God. Your voice. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire and darkest nights. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Come on, church, let's sing it. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Yeah. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Your goodness!
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. My life laid down and surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
All my life.
All my life you have been faithful. You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life, let's sing it.
All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so
for your goodness, Lord. Yeah.
Hey, remember what we did last year? We had the prayer teams go up top so that we didn't separate the church.
Let's go.
Yeah, so prayer teams, let's all just take a few extra minutes and let's all go celebrate the water baptisms that are about to happen. That's like one of the most powerful Christian things we do is celebrate people that are completely giving themselves over to Christ through water baptism. Let's all go upstairs and celebrate that. And the prayer teams, you go on up there, and I think what we did last time, Mark, didn't we have you guys like in a section, and people want prayer for healing or coming to Christ or rededication or baptism in the Holy Spirit or whatever you might need. The prayer teams will be up there, but we're going to do it all together. Let's just go have church up there, all right? All right, let's go on. Online, sorry you can't participate. God bless.